answers.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You could have chosen just to comment on the president's particular recall vis-a-vis a document or a set of documents, but you decided to go further and make a generalized statement about his memory, didn't you?
Congressman, I could have written my report, theoretically, in a way that omitted references to the president's memory, but that would have been an incomplete and improper report, and that it did not reflect
my
analysis.
You could have written,
explanation of my
you could have written your report with comments about his specific recollection as to documents or a set of documents, but you chose a general pejorative reference to the president. You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Herr, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Adam Schefflis does not like the fact that Robert Herr mentioned in his report a reason as to why he's not prosecuting Biden. That's what he was doing. But Adam Schiff doesn't want you to look at that. He wants you to look at, this is all a political game, as if Adam Schiff has never played the game. Do you remember the impeachments against Donald Trump? Of course you do. Do you remember, of course you do, how many times Adam Schiff said, we got him, we got a witness, we got information, we got evidence. Did we ever see any of that? No. And in fact, the whole thing, the Russian collusion story, was a bust. And in fact, pinned directly on Hillary Clinton and the DNC, bought and paid for by them, and that was told directly by the CIA director at the time to then-President Obama and then-Vice President Biden and Attorney General Lynch and FBI director then Comey. They were all told about it. Now, one of them told, we need to stand down. We cannot continue such a farce investigation. But here's Adam Schiff. Maybe he put on some wings like an angel. I don't know what he did, but he's still Adam Schiffless as far as we're concerned. And here he's questioning Robert Herr because Robert Herr is appearing in front of Congress today to answer questions about the report he filed on Joe Biden keeping classified materials. Let's break it down for you in more detail. First of all, welcome aboard. Here we are, March 12, 2024. This is the second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back. It goes by in a hurry, my friend, believe me. And we're always shifting gears. We'll find a subject you're going to love one way or the other, but we also put material in front of you you need to hear. And reminding you, while we're on the air, we are streaming video. News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. The video will be available for you to watch as we're on the air. If you miss it, you can always go back and pull up audio or video podcast or both at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Listen when you can. We certainly appreciate it. And reminding you, because I think it's important that you know, with George Soros buying up stations all across the nation, 200 plus just from the Odyssey Group. That includes 4 or 5 in the St. Louis area. 2 that might be considered certainly conservative, 1 in particular. That conservative voice will end at those stations. And News Talk STL is your number one. You just need to remember number one for the most live and local conservative talk in St. Louis. Number one. And you're making us bigger. Thank you. And supporting our sponsors. So let's go back to Adam Schiff because he's so intent on trying to destroy Robert Herr because you didn't write the report I wanted. I wanted it colored in blue all over, and you put streaks of red in it, and I don't like the final outcome.
You understood when you made that decision, didn't you, Mr. Herr, that you would ignite a political firestorm with that language, didn't you?
Congressman, politics played no part whatsoever in my investigative steps.
But you understood
decision,
nevertheless, didn't you, Mr. Herr? Mr. Herr, you cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You understood that, didn't you, when you wrote those words, when you decided to include those words, when you decided to go beyond specific references to documents? You understood how they would be manipulated by my colleagues here on the GOP side of the aisle and by President Trump. You understood that, did you not?
Congressman, what I understood is the regulations that govern my conduct as special counsel.
And those regulations,
me to write a confidential report for the Attorney General,
which you knew would not be confidential.
My decision, and that is what I did, Congressman.
Mr.
I followed
Hearn,
the rules.
You knew it would not be confidential.
I followed them.
You knew it would not be confidential, didn't you?
Sir, the regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General,
which you knew would be released.
It was up to the Attorney General to determine
you understood
what
it would be released.
Of the report
did you
would
not?
Be released consistent with you, DOJ policy.
You understood it would be released. You understood it would be released.
I understood from the Attorney General's public comments that he would make as much of my report public as he could consistent with legal requirements.
And Adam Schiff knows damn well what he's saying because that's what he was doing when it came to Trump. He knew everything was going to be public. Even though it was behind closed doors, he knew they could go out and he could send his minions out afterwards and say, well, we can't tell you about details of what happened in the closed door meeting, but we can tell you it's not going to be good for Trump. In other words, they could slander and slur him without offering one piece of evidence, which they never did. So Adam Schiff, I have to admit, he's a ringmaster here. He knows how the game is played. And he says, you knew when you put it out there it was going to create a firestorm. And don't be so naive that you didn't think you knew that. Come on. I, Adam Schiff, I know that that would happen because I've done... Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you knew it would. Oh, Adam Schiff, turn around and eat yourself, basically. Can you do that? Turn yourself inside out? Let's go to Congressman Jim Jordan. He is chair of the Judiciary Committee where this is taking part. And I want you to hear how he said at the beginning of the meeting today and the purpose.
Robert Hur was appointed special counsel on January 12, 2023. He had a fundamental question to address. Did Joe Biden unlawfully retain classified information? The answer, yes, he did. Page one of Mr. Hur's report, he says this, our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. He further writes, Mr. Biden willfully retained marked classified documents about Afghanistan and handwritten notes in his notebooks, which he stored in unsecure places in his home. Joe Biden kept classified information, and Joe Biden failed to store classified information properly. Mr. Hur made these determinations after interviewing 147 witnesses. He examined 7 million documents, including emails, text messages, photographs, videos, toll records, and other materials from both classified and unclassified sources.
That was what he was doing. And, of course, then he comes out with his report. And he was following the instructions he was given. And then, of course, when he came out with the report, it did not really do anything but make it clear that Joe Biden, while he violated various statutes and would be found guilty, no one would probably find him guilty. Why? He was giving him basically a way to get out of being charged. Congressman Jordan again.
Joe Biden not only kept information he wasn't allowed to keep, and he not only failed to secure that information properly, he also shared it with people who weren't allowed to see it. Shared that information with his ghostwriter. And remember, this is information that only individuals with a security clearance are supposed to see. Mr. Hur told us on page 200 of his report that it's the kind of information that, quote, risk serious damage to America's national security. And what did Joe Biden have to say about all this? What was his explanation? On page 94 of Mr. Hur's report, Joe Biden said he took his notebooks with him after his vice presidency because, quote, they're mine. And every president before me has done the same exact thing. Never mind the fact that he had never been president when he took this information, but what comes through is Joe Biden felt he was entitled. You can almost hear it. You can feel the arrogance in the statement. They're mine.
They're mine. But we're not a president. And when you said every president before me is not, you were not president. You were vice president. That aside, Biden immediately called an impromptu news conference, or his staff encouraged him to do it. You need to go out and say, Robert Hur found that there's no reason to charge you with classified documents, as we're still pursuing Donald Trump on classified documents. So he came out and he was proudly willing to state that. But then he said he'd take questions, and Peter Doocy had a question.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, and I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation.
That's how totally bad is your memory, and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad, I let you speak. That's
what your memory has gotten worse, Mr. President.
My memory is not good. My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I've become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Mr. President.
Do voters have concerns about your age? How are you going to assuage them? And do you fear that this report is only going to fuel further concerns about your age?
Only by some of you.
Mr. President, do you take responsibility for at least being careless with classified material?
I take responsibility for not having seen exactly what my staff was doing. It goes in and points out.
Yeah.
Things that appeared in my garage, things that came out of my home, that were moved not by me, but my staff.
By my staff. Put the blame on the staff. I love how they like to deflect and put the blame somewhere else. And back to Congressman Jordan, the key point being, the thing that got Adam Schiff so upset. You wrote that in there. You knew it caused an uproar. But it also provided an excuse, a reason not to charge Joe Biden.
But even with all that, Mr. Hur chose not to bring charges because, quote, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did in our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. A forgetful old man who Mr. Hur said did not remember when he was vice president, forgetting on the first day of the interview when his term ended, and forgetting on the second day of the interview when his term as vice president began. Joe Biden broke the law. But because he's a forgetful old man who would appear sympathetic to a jury, Mr. Hur chose not to bring charges.
And that's the end of that story so far. But of course, there will be more to come, as we well know. Yesterday, FBI Director Wray was testifying about the invasion at our southern border. There is concern, of course, about drugs, human smuggling. Then there's also the fear of terrorists because we know they're coming across the border. We've documented it numerous times. And Christopher Wray was then speaking not just about generic terrorists coming across. We know they are generically coming across, but those who are coming across that have not an intent to just, you know, basically carry out crimes, criminal activities, but what they're going to try to do is look for an opportunity to get in and go after those who are more than vulnerable. They are actually going to create havoc and mayhem because that's what terrorists do.
I guess what I would say is this. From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border, and that includes everything from the drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. An awful lot of the violent crime in the United States is at the hands of gangs who are themselves involved in the distribution of that fentanyl.
And in fact, you heard earlier in the first hour, in case you missed it, an 11-year-old New York boy is one of the latest known deaths linked to overdosing on fentanyl. But again, the fact that ISIS is coming in, ISIS terrorist groups. Chad Wolf was the acting deputy Department of Homeland Security secretary, and he said, "We knew they were coming, they're here now, and we're not dealing with it."
We've been talking about the national security and public safety threats that have been coming across that southern border for the last 3 years. And, of course, now the director is talking about the nexus between smuggling operations and ISIS. And it, remember, Director Ray back in December talked about blinking lights everywhere. So he's been on this theme of the threats coming across that southern border for some time now. And, look, in my personal opinion, this is the closest or the most vulnerable that we've been since 9/11. Given the number of threats that we are facing, specifically as it relates to that southern border.
And we continue to have it. And what's stopping them? Nobody and nothing. Not this administration. We were documenting in the last hour how many have already come across, and according to Laura Reese, 1.9 million gotaways. Now, if they did not go and report themselves to Border Patrol agents standing right there at an entry where they could come in and just get a slip of paper, identify who they were, and then they'd be allowed to roam about the country anyway, because we don't have any opportunity and availability at that time to check on the spot who they are and what they might be guilty of somewhere else. Some that are stupid enough to walk up and introduce themselves, we find that they're on a terrorist watch list. We're not letting them in. Well, thank God for that. But if they give a fake name, we're not running DNA, we don't know how to check. And then if you got 1.9 million suspected getaways, the ones coming across in the dead of night, trying to remain unseen, what do you suspect they're in here for? And we're not even talking yet about the Chinese military-age men that have been coming across on a regular basis. They're gathering in Chile, and then they're amazingly at the southern border and coming right across. And they're all, again, military-age men. I will point out to you again, because somebody wanted me to believe, well, they're trying to escape dictatorship in China, communist China. Well, understand this. If that many were missing from China, somebody would be spreading word, and somebody's families would be executed on the spot if they left without permission. No, they've been ordered to come to this nation. Again, Chad Wolf on the threat facing us.
I think it's important to remember that there's been over 350 known or suspected terrorists that have been captured in the first three years of the Biden administration. And you compare that with just 11 over all 4 years of the Trump administration. And what that tells me is that individuals and groups from around the world believe that now is the time to take advantage of these lax policies along our southern border to get folks illegally into the country for any number of reasons.
Any number of reasons. Are there those coming just for a better life? Of course there are. But some are coming thinking, well, if I can't get the better life I want, then I'll just go ahead and rob someone. Andrew in Chicago sent me a piece of video from a shopping center in the outskirts of Chicago. There's a migrant, an illegal at every aisle you try to drive down, panhandling in this shopping lot. I'm surprised security hasn't moved them out. I rolled down my window recently at one at a corner where they're not supposed to be standing. And, of course, as soon as the window went down, they came running over looking for a dollar. I said, you know, right over there, there's a Target store and they're looking to hire. There's a Chick-fil-A down from that and they'll pay $15, $20 an hour. And they just ran and walked away. Coming up, we're going to take a closer look at what else they're bringing, and that is diseases. Dr. Randy Tobler will be joining us. Illness brought by illegals and a concern about measles. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question: do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has a very special deal. You do not want to miss this. A bottle of Angel's Envy engraved with your name. Or maybe get several with your company name. What a great gift for special clients. So you can get one or several. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge STL Facebook for full details. Or just visit Lit in Chesterfield. In fact, I'll probably see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is, as you well know, a co-host here on, I should say, host of his own program, Dr. Randy Tobler, every Saturday morning. If you miss it, you need to start listening or at least pull it up on the podcast when you can. 6 to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, Dr. Randy Tobler. Welcome, sir.
Hey, it's a privilege. Thanks, Larry.
Well, I want to point, you reminded me, and I have to admit, I wouldn't have made note of this date. You point out today is the fourth anniversary of COVID hitting our shores?
I think it was yesterday is when they actually declared the emergency, the national emergency that really launched, that really triggered the lockdowns and all of the other avalanche of government mandates that followed.
Wow, that has been a fast time, and yet we're still recovering from it, aren't we?
Yeah, it seems like a blink yesterday to think it's 4 years, but a lot has transpired. And I think we learned a lot about a rush to judgment, a rush to accept science. It reminds me of journalists that in this modern journalistic age, and you know, being a real journalist, you know, you better take a breath, confirm your story, even if you're not the first out. It's best to be the best out.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think we learned a lot that way.
Absolutely true. And as I point out to the audience, yes, I spent years as a journalist, and here I always try to strive for balancing facts and giving both sides of the story, but also offer opinion, so I'm not just reporter anymore. Now, I want to get into several things with you. First of all, there's been a concern about measles breaking out, and not only measles, but and I've discussed this with a couple of other doctors as well, the numerous illnesses that we're seeing across our nation that are being brought in by illegals.
Yeah, well, look, measles are breaking out. We saw a little preview of that. We saw it in rural areas when I previously practiced up in northeast Missouri, and we saw outbreaks of pertussis, of whooping cough, because certain communities would not, you know, did not have high vaccination rates, and once it got started, it, you know, it spread like wildfire. And I think we're seeing that in pockets with measles too, because, you know, I mean, vaccination, there's vaccination thresholds within a community, then if you don't reach those thresholds with a lot of other factors involved, it's more likely that more and more individuals will get infected.
But then there's a concern, and I was referring to an article that I know you're familiar with now too, that since 1967, there have been reports of brain-related issues after measles vaccinations, all the way back to 67, they're calculated to be about 1 to 11 cases per million. But then they looked at a 2003 in Argentine researchers, a group of 8 children who had measles 6 to 10 months of age during the 98 yeah. measles outbreak. They got the first dose of that particular one that had been developed, and they had widespread tissue damage. Again, yeah. we're back to our vaccinations going to be properly tested, and what is happening with this issue?
Well, I think we've seen it before with dengue fever, for instance, where, and that was one of the concerns with the mRNA vaccines, you know, in the COVID-19 crisis, that sometimes if you prime the body to respond, and if it responds sort of like a loaded weapon, and if it over responds, then if it sees the infection again, it can cause some, you know, collateral damage. Basically, your body gets caught in the crossfire because your body has now been primed, and then it mounts an over exuberant response. That's probably based on some genetic variability. I mean, we're not all the same, you know, 46XX or 46XY, and the chromosomal constituents and the genes aren't the same. So, you know, just like we know with type 1 diabetes, there's probably a susceptibility. There may be a viral component there to combine with a genetic susceptibility. There's other things. So these anecdotal reports of people who've been vaccinated and they either do or don't get the virus, but they get a subclinical or a light, you know, disease. But then it sounds like the war to beat the virus damages them more than the virus. And that's one of the big public health questions, Larry. It's really sort of one of those philosophical questions. We know it's undeniable. And public health officials that don't face it square on, I think, are not being honest and square with us. They'd be good to do that. But to say, look, there is a known rate of Guillain-Barré in this vaccine, or of, you know, delayed SSPE, subacute sclerosing panencephalitis with measles.
I was going to say the word, but I'm glad you did it for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I've been practicing it all night, you know. But the truth is that the ravages of the disease left unchecked, and the numbers of people that would be not only having the virus, but then the primary damage from the virus, it far outweighs any of these anecdotal cases, if you just look at it on a statistical basis, you know. So that's the rub, and I think everyone has to weigh that sort of, gosh, I hate to say it. I mean, you know, Joe Biden said, you know, it's your patriotic responsibility to pay your taxes. I think everyone needs to ask themselves at what point and with what individual risk threshold are you comfortable with taking that risk threshold, that 1 in a million, let's say, to help protect others in the community, especially those who may be weaker or who may not have, they may have other chronic conditions that make them more susceptible. So it really becomes sort of a scientific dash moral dash ethical dash public policy issue. And, you know, those are never solved easily or very elegantly.
Well, we have had measles basically mandated since the late 60s, nearly eradicated in the early 80s. And then there's a question, why the significant increase of, and I'm going to just use the letters, SSPE, and there's no convincing explanation.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing, look, you can pick out almost any inflammatory disease. Ask the nearest rheumatologist you talk to. They deal with lupus. They deal with, you know, ankylosing spondylitis. They deal with all these inflammatory diseases, some of which are genetically, at least have a genetic susceptibility, but others are inexplicable. Rheumatoid arthritis, you know, what's going on here? We're seeing a lot more of these. I think a lot of it, Larry, has a lot to do with our ultra and increasing inflammatory diet and lifestyle that we lead. As we become a heavier nation and society and planet, that's an inflammatory condition by itself. And then you pile on top of that people that are eating too many processed foods. I stand guilty as accused many times. You know, there's a lot of other factors that I think can explain or at least can contribute to why we're seeing an increase in all kinds of inflammatory diseases. So I'm not sure whether it's just turning the volume up on all of them and you've got a baseline and so SSPE, all of them go up, or if there is something there. I haven't seen any convincing evidence that the risks, if you just pile them all together, of the measles vaccine outweighs the benefits to the vast majority of people these days.
Well, to that extent, you do recall there were times that in the past where one of the children came down with measles, they all had a measles party. Bring your child over. And they all kind of end up getting it all at the same time, and then they're good.
Well, you're right. And, hey, you know what? Maybe there's a silver lining if measles does appear. since we're having so many of the, what is it, deciding not to have kids, the dinkers, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about pregnant women having children that are, while they're infected, get measles. That's devastating.
Right.
There's neurologic consequences that are absolutely devastating. And so, yeah, in those times when a lot more babies were being made and a lot more households, I think there was a lot more vulnerability for congenital problems related to measles as well.
All right, well, let me take you down another road. There is a drug that's surfacing as an illegal, of course, being brought in by illegals on top of that. It's been around for some time, synthetically produced back in the 50s. And nitrites, nitazines, I mean. And yet we're told that it's 10 to 20 times more potent than fentanyl. And it's now infiltrating our street drug market.
Yeah, look, we're seeing an influx of all of these, you know, kissing cousins of opioids, right? I mean, the basic one we think of is morphine, and then there's synthetics made from that. And then, you know, you change a hydrogen atom here, a carbon atom there, and then you've got something entirely new. And often much more potent, much more quickly acting, difficult to reverse. Often we, you know, these things infiltrate. And it gets blamed on fentanyl. Someone who's at a party, they take one, you know, Tylenol. They thought it was Tylenol that they borrowed from someone, and it's laced with fentanyl. And it may turn out that it's got other substances in there. Because, look, in the manufacturing process of these drugs, like fentanyl, when they're done illicitly, the purity standards and, you know, running them through a mass spectrometer, making sure that you're only getting in that pill or that, you know, powder what you think you're getting, that's just going by the wayside. And so you get all of the spin-offs, the toxics, the metabolites, and in some cases the intended malfeasance agents like you're talking about. Look, this is a day where I was talking with someone this morning. It's like if I had a kid that was getting into adolescence at this point, I would be showing them very explicit pictures and videos of what it is to go through an overdose and even an overdose death. Because, and then tell them, unless it comes out of a bottle that you see is sealed, that you buy out of the case at the C-Mart,
yeah.
You know, or you get that pill from a pharmacist, do not take it. Do not take it, because these days it is a wild, wild west, Larry, and they are playing with fire, these kids that experiment these days.
I can't imagine a parent getting that call, and I'm sure as a doctor maybe you've had to make that call to parents in the past.
Well, I've certainly dealt with it in the emergency department, and I've been there when the emergency department doctor makes the call, and as an administrator or as a doc, I've had to be there when the parents rush in, and the wailing is heard throughout the halls of the hospital, starting in the parking lot, and it is just, it's gut-wrenching, and it's so avoidable if kids would just, if they would just be adults, but I guess we can't wish them to be adults, so maybe we ought to stop the influx of the illegals. Oh, excuse me. They're newcomers now. Yeah, they're not illegal.
That's right.
They're newcomers.
That's right. Dr. Randy Tobler, thank you very much. Dr. Randy Tobler show every Saturday morning here on News Talk, 6 to 9 a.m. Thank you, doctor.
My pleasure. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. I want to take a moment to tell you folks, I'd mentioned it earlier, John Barnett has been a whistleblower involved in a lawsuit against Boeing, 62 years old. He's been found dead. They're ruling it suicide. According to the investigators, a self-inflicted gunshot wound, 30 years, and then he became a vocal critic of the safety and quality practices. He was one of the ones complaining about the air blowout in that Alaskan Airlines flight and others. He says it's not just a 737 problem, it's a Boeing problem. That whistleblower now committing suicide. Coming up, another thing you need to know about TikTok. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
TikTok is this American, TikTok U.S. American company or headquartered putatively in America. And they have this platform, which is fascinating, right? And people, it's very effective, very good, has a lot of members. One of the things that powers it is that it is powered by an algorithm based on artificial intelligence, where the more you use it, the more it learns about you. It, in essence, reads your mind. It knows the kinds of videos you like, and it feeds you more and more of them, causing you to go back. That algorithm is not owned by TikTok. It's owned by ByteDance, a Chinese company, correct?
That's my understanding.
And so the only way that algorithm works is if that Chinese company has access to the data being generated by TikTok. The owner of the algorithm, ByteDance, has to have access. So it doesn't matter where the data is stored. Ultimately, they have to have access to it in order to make the algorithm work. Correct?
Right. I mean, it was the key point is that the parent company is, for all intents and purposes, beholden to the CCP.
That is Florida Senator Mark Rubio asking FBI Director Christopher Wray about TikTok. And as you heard the FBI director say, yes, the parent company is obligated to the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. So with that in mind, and with all the other concerns that have been raised already about TikTok, the influence it has, and how it also is a gateway for China to get your information and maybe even be used against you or a particular political candidate and sway the vote one way or the other, because you'd be amazed how many folks rely upon their phone for all of their information. And right now with artificial intelligence, you already have to be concerned about it. I have to be concerned about it. Every time I'm looking up a story and working on it for you, I try to do as many cross-checks as I have time to make sure I don't get sucked into that rabbit hole. And I will have to admit to you, there may be a day that I do, that I report something that is utterly false. I won't do it intentionally, obviously, but I will have been tricked, because AI can be that good if it's going to be used for bad purposes. So TikTok, with the China-based parent company and the concern about data security and foreign influence, has been in the crosshairs of Congress for some time. It's back in it today, and yesterday and the Republican-controlled House will soon vote on a bill, possibly tomorrow, that would require TikTok either be divested from ByteDance, the Beijing-based owner, or face a nationwide ban. In fact, the House Committee on Energy and Commerce last Thursday did pass unanimously a bill that House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said he will bring into a vote as early as tomorrow. So that's where we stand at this point. But again, back to Congressman, or the Senator Rubio of Florida, questioning Christopher Wray, referenced the Chinese Communist Party and TikTok.
Isn't it true that under Chinese law, the Chinese Communist Party says that data that you're gaining access to in order to make your algorithm work, we want a copy of that data? If they said that to ByteDance in the future, ByteDance would have to give it to them.
That's my understanding.
And if they went to them and said, we want you to change your algorithm so that Americans start seeing videos that hurt this candidate or help that candidate in the upcoming election, ByteDance would have to do that under Chinese law.
That's my understanding.
And if they said, we want you to put out videos that make Americans fight with each other or spread conspiracy theories and get them at each other's throat, ByteDance doesn't have, can't go to Chinese court and fight the Communist Party. They would have to do it.
That's my understanding. And I would just add that that kind of influence operation, or the different kinds of influence operations you're describing, are extraordinarily difficult to detect, which is part of what makes the national security concerns represented by TikTok so significant.
And to that extent, there'd been talk about, all right, we will at least ban it from any phones that are part of the government operation. But if you're carrying your private phone and you walk into an installation and you still have your private phone with you and you have TikTok on it, can it basically capture other phones and get inside them? I'm not smart enough to answer the question for you, but those that are looking at it are saying, this thing is already out of control. Can we put it back in the box, Senator Rubio?
People like it. And the reason why they like it, what makes TikTok so good, is that it has this artificial intelligence that knows you better than you know yourself. It's literally reading your mind. The more you use it, the more it knows about you. The problem is not that TikTok has that. The problem is that ByteDance and their engineers in China are the ones that own that artificial intelligence. And no matter where you put my data or anybody, I don't use TikTok, but people that use TikTok, no matter where you store that data, you could store it in a safe in the United States. Those engineers in China have to have access to the data, but they control the brain of TikTok. They control that artificial intelligence. And the point I made today, and the FBI director agreed, is if the Chinese Communist Party goes to them and says, we want you to defeat Donald Trump, we want you to put out messages that are anti-Trump and pro-Biden, ByteDance has to do it. It doesn't matter that they're a company in China. By Chinese law, they have to do it. If they say, we want the data of all your users that live in Florida, they have to give it to them. They don't have a choice but to do it. That is Chinese law. And so as long as ByteDance owns the artificial intelligence that powers TikTok, we got a Trojan horse living inside our country.
A Trojan horse, and yet we see it, and we know what it is. Now, there's been speculation. In fact, Donald Trump had raised it at one point, saying maybe he had talked about banning it. They said, well, maybe another option would be to allow private investors to buy it up and control it in the U.S., buy it away from ByteDance, assuming they would do that. That's assuming they want to give up the control and information they have. A former Activision CEO, Bobby Kotick, now expressing interest in buying China's TikTok, concerning it might be banned, saying, well, if it's held by an American citizen, will that be okay? He is a former CEO of the video game company Activision Blizzard, and apparently a polarizing figure in the video gaming industry. I don't know anything about him, but according to Wall Street Journal, he has approached the ByteDance founder to share his interest in buying TikTok. Cost could be hundreds of millions of dollars, and he might need numerous partners to complete the buy if they give the approval. Now, Trump, when he had talked about maybe we need to go that direction, and then the other day seemed to almost flip-flop. And here's some background on this. Steve Bannon, one-time advisor to Trump, suggested over the weekend in an article with Newsweek that the former president has shifted his view on TikTok. According to Steve Bannon, the former president was paid off to shift his stance. Now, I'm telling you the way it was reported by Newsweek. Newsweek is not a magazine I would trust as being absolutely correct with the facts. whether or not Bannon really knows anything or he's just blowing smoke or playing games, I don't know. But that apparently was a quote from him in Newsweek, which obviously became quick fodder immediately. But first, before we get to how the state-controlled media is handling it, let's go to one of the latest statements just yesterday from Trump regarding TikTok.
I could have banned TikTok. I had it banned just about. I could have gotten it done. But I said, you know what? But I'll leave it up to you. I didn't push them too hard because, you know, let them do their own research and development. And they decided not to do it. But as you know, I was at the point where I could have gotten it done if I wanted to. I sort of said, you guys decide. You make that decision because it's a tough decision to make. Frankly, there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. There are a lot of users. There's, you know, a lot of good, and there's a lot of bad with TikTok. But the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger. And I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media.
And I would agree with the president to that extent, the former president. But, of course, this is immediate, raw, red meat, blood in the water, for those that Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski and her husband Joe, and one of their guests.
This should be a shared goal, and it looks like it is a shared goal, except for Donald Trump, who a billionaire walks through the gates of Mar-a-Lago, and suddenly he's fine with the Communist Chinese Party surveilling Americans.
Yeah, do the words the swamp mean anything to you? Let's face it, TikTok
is
universally across the political spectrum regarded as a national security threat, not just a concern, a threat. And I listened to a chairman of the bipartisan House Committee on China, outgoing Congressman Mike Gallagher, combat Marine, terrific thinker about China, and he is deeply worried and concerned about this, and we all ought to be.
And Morning Joe was actually reading part of an article, an opinion piece from Wall Street Journal, their editorial board, suggesting, yeah, we need to do something about TikTok. We'll see if the House takes it up for a vote tomorrow to ban it and to what extent. In the meantime, you need to know this. They're trying to slip this by. Democrats in Maine have reintroduced to a different committee a same bill that got defeated previously. It's a pro-transgender bill. It would, in part, prevent parents from being contacted or having any say in the transing of their children by school or medical officials. In fact, would serve basically, as some say, a groomer protection measure. This bill was killed in their Judiciary Committee in Maine back in January. And now they're back with it in a different committee, trying to do it a little bit differently. The Republican AG says the bill is unconstitutional, taking away Republican rights, automatically taking children into state custody. Do not let this happen. You fight these predators, and that's what they are. If they're preying upon your child's mind, they're the same as preying upon their body, and if they're trying to get them to have puberty blockers and surgery, they're definitely preying upon their body as well. All right, to Israel and Hamas and Joe Biden. A very unclear policy from our administration right now. And retired General Jack King says that is not only wrong but dangerous because Biden continues to push the progressive narrative.
We cannot have 30,000 more Palestinians dead as a consequence of going after. There's other ways to deal, to deal with the trauma caused by Hamas. I sat with a war cabinet and I said, look, don't make the mistake America made. We went after bin Laden until we got him, but we shouldn't have gone into Ukraine, but the whole thing in Iraq and Afghanistan wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. It just caused more problems than it raised.
Is that a good comparison? What Israel's trying to do to wipe out Hamas?
No, I mean, absolutely not. Look, it's unfortunate what has happened here. I mean, the disagreements that our president has and his team with Prime Minister Netanyahu and his team and how to conduct this war are now in the public spaces. That is really regrettable. I just wish, frankly, that the president and his team would leave Israel alone here and let them conduct a military operation in accordance with their values and as they see fit.
As they see fit. But we believe here, because progressives tell us, we know better than Israel. And that is, we should stop bombing Gaza and quit going after Hamas. And, of course, opening a port for Gaza for aid to come in. Biden's talked about doing it. I've yet to see details. I've yet to see if American troops will be involved at any extent at all. That would put boots on the ground in the region in harm's way. But on top of that, when you open that port, are you really helping the Palestinians that are trapped in Gaza, or are you helping Hamas more? And again, the complaint you hear from the left, the progressives, the PLO, the Hamas supporters, it's genocide what Israel is carrying out. UN has said we don't see any direct evidence of genocide, and we think it's simply a war effort that's caught innocent people in the center. But the UN is subject to being swayed the different way tomorrow. But we do know that in the beginning, Israel sent word that we are going to retaliate for October 7. If you're in the northern part of Israel, you need to move, Gaza, you need to move south, because that's where we're going to start. And they gave them days, and many were trying to probably get out, but were either shot in the back as they were leaving or being held hostage so they could serve as human shields against Israeli forces coming in, and that continues to this day. We're now in Ramadan, but the fighting apparently is still continuing. But for Biden to say we can't have another 25, 30,000 Afghans dead, that's, not Afghans, PLO members dead, Palestinians, that's never been the intent. The intent was to kill the Hamas. They are also PLO, but they're different. Just like not every Muslim is a jihadist, but every jihadist is a Muslim. Not every Palestinian is Hamas, but every member of Hamas is Palestinian. And General Jack King, retired four-star general, says, look at what Israel did trying to prevent collateral damage from the very beginning.
They have taken unprecedented moves to remove the problem that no other military has had in my memory of dealing with such a concentration of civilians that are actually in the combatant zone inside urban centers. When the sound of the guns come, people normally leave. Hamas doesn't let them leave. The Israelis have moved them away as best as they possibly can, and certainly it's resulted, regrettably, in civilian casualties. But the rose has to be pinned. The reason for those casualties is Hamas. We've got this thing twisted. And blaming Israel for that. It's not the case. Israel has to finish this.
Has to finish it. On another front, the U.S. Southern Command acknowledging it's obliged to airlift non-essential personnel from our embassy in Haiti because the entire country is now being run by gangs, murderous gangs, who were airlifting our personnel out of the area. Good. And, of course, right after the President's State of the Union address about how great he's doing comes this new report, pointing out that we have a second month of rapidly rising prices last month, damaging Biden's claims the policies were reducing inflation. The consumer price index rose 0.4% in Feb, faster than January. And that does not include the core index, which would be for food and gas. That went up 0.5%, but they don't want to put that in. And then we have a survey of majority of Democrats say they would oppose Congress certifying the election if Trump were to win. That's a Rasmussen poll survey I mentioned briefly yesterday. So these 57% of Democrats would oppose certification. Election deniers, kind of what they were blaming Trump for? Rob Carter Show is next. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.